Welcome to today's podcast, the 14th in the series titled Designed for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from Pastor Jim Irwin's Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as The Church on Black Road. We are going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 7, The Lord is Salvation, with this week's message, The Word of the Prophet Made More Clear. However, before we get to Pastor Jim's message, here are the closing remarks from David Irwin as he shares with the congregation his trip to Israel.
I'd like to say a few things about the Jewish people. You know, when you're there, there's a few people that you're able, it's very easy to get to know. One would be the Muslims were pretty easy to get to know and to talk with, but it was very difficult speaking to the Jewish people. They have very hardened hearts, and the idea that I'm God's chosen person, that I have the law, that I uphold the law, that I'm better than you is kind of a very prevalent thing. And so it became very difficult to try to get to know Orthodox Jewish people, because being a Gentile, you're kind of considered less than them. And so you see the bondage that these people are in, the bondage that the law has put them under. And it's so heartbreaking, because we know that when Jesus died on the cross, that the veil was torn in two, and that God's presence was made available to all people. And the Jews, they're there, and they're waiting, and because they can't have access to the Temple Mount, they can't sacrifice to their God, they can't be made right with God. So they go to the Western Wall, and they rock back and forth, and they pray, and they cry, and they scream, and all of the Jews, they chant the same chants. And their hearts are extremely in bondage, because they want to know God, they want to see God, but they're so blinded toward the fact that God has already come to them. And that's in Jesus. If you mention the name of Jesus to these Jews, they're just, I don't want to hear it, you know, I don't want anything to do with that. And they just walk away. You know, we had many outreach opportunities where we were able to do that. You know, and to see the bondage that they're under in the law is very heartbreaking. And the waiting that they have for this Messiah to come. And that's what we know about the end times, is the Antichrist will come and set himself up within the temple and proclaim to be the Messiah. You know, and so they're ripe for picking in that area. But we know in 1 Peter 2:5 that it says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Being there in Israel and coming back to the United States, where the church is heavily influenced, you're able to appreciate all the more of what the Lord has done in our lives, how he has made each and every one of us able to commune with God as priests ourselves. I love the thing about this church is for a long time the message was every member a minister. And I love that. Every member able to commune with God as if he was right there with us. And so when you go to Israel, if you go to Israel, there's nothing very spiritual about the stones. There's nothing about going to these biblical sites and feeling the Holy Spirit fill you. Quite the contrary, I feel as though the most productive time in Israel for me was when I got alone. I'd go to a quiet place where there was no biblical significance about this place, and I would just read this book, you know. And that God is no more there than he is here. And he's no more in California than he is in Israel than he is in Bronson, Michigan. No matter where we are, we carry the priesthood of God's Spirit within us. And so it was an amazing, awesome trip, and I would definitely encourage every one of you guys if you get the opportunity to go. So thank you so much for partnering with me in prayer, and be fervent in prayer for the Jewish people, that all and for all people, that they'd come to know that Jesus is the Messiah and that God has revealed himself to us. So thank you. Love you guys.
Nice job, Dave. Thank you. Appreciate the detail there, and I hope you get a chance to catch him afterwards. Don't forget there are Father's Day cupcakes now in the fellowship hall and some coffee over there. I'm going to give myself a Father's Day gift. I think I'll cut us out early. And hold kids right where you're at, Dave. Sorry, we'll pick up next time with a lesson that we have for you as well as for you. However, can't let you get out with just one last word here. If you got a Bible, why don't you turn to the first and the last verses of my message this morning. Second Peter, chapter 2. And I'd like to finish with just a passage that I think fits with our study of Isaiah as we're thinking about exhortations. I've encouraged you as you study Isaiah, as we do this next month and a half, 2 months, to look for the exhortations, which are obvious in the first half of the book. It's mostly exhortation, admonitions, what you shouldn't do or what you have to stop doing or start doing. Then we get into the promises, and they're there in the first half of Isaiah, but they're prevalent in the second half. And overall, we're looking at the nature of God, and we're trying to decipher what kind of God is he. And I'd like to suggest to you that he's a God that takes seriously sin, because sin is a mortal illness that infects everyone. It's a contagion that you cannot insulate yourself from in this world. And it is deadly. In fact, the wages of sin, Paul tells us, is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 there, Peter says, "We have the word of the prophets made more certain." I want to include Isaiah. He's the most quoted prophet in the New Testament. We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it. If you're smart, listen up. Pay attention to what God says via the prophets. That may have been centuries ago, but the basic element of sin is at work in your life as much as it was in those days, and in our culture as much as it was in ancient Israel. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. You will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place. It is a lifeboat on a sinking ship. It's a fire escape to a burning building, out of a burning building. It's like a parachute on an airplane that's going down. And if you'll heed the admonitions, the exhortation, the warnings, and follow God's direction there, you're going to find salvation. Pick up in 2 Peter a little bit farther on, chapter 3 there. Verse 1, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you, and I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." That's what the Bible can do for you. It can teach you to think. "And I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires." Now, how many of you think we're getting close to those days? Are there scoffers about? Are people more interested in their own desires than they are what God desires? Boy, if that was true then, how much more today? "They will say, 'Where is his coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has from the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word," there's the key phrase, the word of God, "the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed." That is the flood. "And by the same word," number three, notice, "by the same word of God, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do not forget this, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Time and time again in the Old Testament, the prophets came and they prophesied, they preached, they got in the people's faces and they told them to give up their idolatries and to turn back to God. Hundreds of years, God waited for them to return, to repent. As Peter tells us, that's the patience of God, and it allows for you and I to find salvation through repentance. The wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. The good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You're going to find both of those messages in the book of Isaiah. But you and I ought to do what he tells, what Peter tells his audience. We ought to pay attention to the words of the prophets. December 7th, 1941, some of you will recall, was the day that Pearl Harbor suffered a surprise attack by the Japanese. Very unexpected, although not totally unexpected. If you read the documents about that time, within a week of that attack prior, there were messages that were being decoded, and the American military was determining that the Japanese were up to something in the South Pacific. And in fact, the air base there was in jeopardy. And after the attack occurred, there was a man who came forward who was a radar reedsman, whatever you would call that guy, on one of the islands there. And he and his team perceived, as the document goes, that out in the Pacific, some 135 miles, there was a force moving towards Hawaii. At the time, the discussion amongst them was that there was supposed to be a fleet of B-17 bombers that was to arrive somewhat in that era, and so they determined that it must be the B-17 bombers. In actuality, it was 180 Japanese torpedoes, bombers, coming upon them. First of two waves to hit Pearl Harbor that morning. In my opinion, that's like the prophets who say, pay heed, be careful, look at the radar, something is coming. How many of you sense that for our generation and for America? Could that possibly be the case? What ought we to do? Boy, Peter says, through repentance. That's where you find salvation. In fact, you'll find promises that God will preserve the people who do in the book of Isaiah, scattered amongst the judgments. We call that the remnant of people in that era who would survive by God's mercy and grace because they would entrust themselves to him. We've got homework to do in the book of Isaiah. We're going to pick up this next week. Read the next section if you would. You've got the spiritual disciplines in your bulletin. I want to encourage you to join me next Sunday. Let's feed back. What is it that God is saying vicariously through Isaiah to us? What did you grab or catch in your study that week? Exhortations, promises, or insights into the nature of God? That's where we're going to spend our time this summer. Would you bow your head if you would? I'm going to invite the praise team if you'll come forward. We're going to finish off with a song that they've asked to share. I think it gives that message of God's love and the hope that we find, thankfully, in spite of our predicament of sin, the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and goodness. It's everlasting. All of us are in need all the time. Who of us is immune from the impact of sin as it devastates lives, influences all of us in some form or fashion in our generation as well? And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, as Peter says, and we ought to pay attention, in this case, to what Isaiah has said, the word of the Lord, that even today is relevant for our generation. Move us, Lord, and I pray that as we take time daily, maybe as David encouraged us to do, to set apart time daily to seek you, most significant time of day, there can't be anything more important than to find time with you and to hear from you as we study your word, as your spirit prompts us. And Lord, as a result, I pray that you would energize us to obey. Boy, that's what we all need, daily, ongoing, all the time. In our obedience, Lord, reach out through us this summer. There are people around us who are in danger. Like Pearl Harbor, the enemy is moving close, and they're unaware. And you could use us prophetically to alert them if we cared enough about them. So I pray for my heart and for each heart that you would prompt us, neighbors, family, and friends around us who are oblivious, maybe even scoffers, as Peter said. They're just following their own evil desires. Reach out through us, Lord, to them as well. Thanks for your mercy and grace that is embodied ultimately in Jesus Christ, the world Savior. We give you thanks for him in his name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.